75% of licensed CPAs would effectively be phasing out of the accounting industry over the course of the next 10 years.
There's never been a better time to be an individual accounting major. Right now, in the first 3 to 5 years of your career, you can accomplish more than at any point in the past. If you were to say it has 100 students in there on average, if I said, hey, how many of y'all want to start your own business? 80%, 85% of the hands go up. And I think some of that just goes to many of them watch parents or whatever it may be, work for the same company for many, many years, and their quality of life doesn't seem to have improved that much. The coolest thing is that you can be 23, 24 years old, and you're in the room with CFOs and controllers speaking about their financials. Yeah. I mean, there's no other job that gives you that type of access to just get to know these people really and network with them.
Episode 7 of the Roads and Riches podcast. Today we have on Dr. Josh McGowan, Associate Director and Assistant Professor at the William H. Carr School of Accountancy at Troy University. Josh and I became acquainted through X or Twitter, where he's really a voice and a champion for the accounting industry in general. We definitely share the belief that there has never been a better time to become an accountant, and you'll want to listen to this episode to hear exactly why. So without further ado, let's get into it. We talk about all things accounting, so hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Josh, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
So we caught up for the first time really formally outside of the Twitterverse. And the thing that I actually want to start with, I asked you a little bit about your path into becoming a professor, obviously teaching accounting over at Troy University. You told me about a kitchen appliance story. Which I thought was awesome. So why don't we start there?
Absolutely. That's funny. So when I was going through my undergrad education, I was interviewing with accounting firms and just trying to figure out, you know, what type of firm I thought I would fit with and things of that nature, and was lucky enough to get a couple of interviews. And I was under the impression that I really wanted to go Big Four just because of, right, all the opportunity and things of that nature. And I was excited. I got an interview with a Big Four firm. I won't mention which one. We were doing the interview and everything was going great. And then it was like, okay, we got to ask you kind of an important question. I was like, all right, what could this be? And the question was, if you could be any type of kitchen appliance, what type of appliance would you be? And I think I answered, I forget what I answered. It was something like a blender. I don't know what I answered, but I got to thinking about it and I was like, man, what kind of crazy question is that to ask on an accounting interview? And it kind of, to be honest, it put a bad taste in my mouth, and I ended up not going with that firm. And a lot of it, maybe that was a bad decision on my part, but a lot of it had to do with just, is that how, you know, my day-to-day is going to be dealing with kind of these abstract things that don't, I don't know. I don't even have a good explanation of why it turned me off, but it was just, I got a bad feeling from that interview.
You went off. I know in your early career, you know, you were working, I think, you know, throughout college in the accounting industry. And if I remember correctly, you had a small CPA local firm. And so learning the ropes on various different things. But eventually you went off and you were basically a controller CFO, at an organization, I think in North Florida somewhere. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I started in public accounting and then moved into industry. And I kind of always thought I'd want to move into industry at some point, really enjoyed in negotiating new leases and business deals and things of that nature, put a pitch in. I remember my interview for that job, the owner of a company was, just so you know, I would have never even brought you in if you didn't have your CPA. Because I was pretty young at the time. And even though he technically didn't need a CPA, the marketing of the license and things of that nature, he was under the impression that that is what he needed for his company to grow. He was like, you know, I need a CPA to be in this role. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I really enjoyed doing a lot. I just got to dig into the financials of our company and compare it with other companies that were similar and figure out how to just make it a better company and make the bottom line better, which was very obviously different than any experience I had in the past. And I think that's something that I enjoy bringing to the classroom. I think students love hearing about the industry side of it more so a lot of times than anything else I did in my career. just because they're like, oh, well, I want to start my own business. You know, can I use this accounting stuff to, you know, how can I use it to make my company better and things of that nature?
That's interesting. So in your role now, like, and with students that you have, and obviously the folks that you're mentoring, do you get a lot of that feedback? Like you're realizing that, you know, some of their motivations for studying accounting and being in the accounting industry, or really just, you know, having this good foundation, is that they have motivations to have entrepreneurial aspirations and do things for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty crazy. In my principal's class, if you were to say it has 100 students in there on average, if I said, hey, how many of y'all want to start your own business? 80%, 85% of the hands go up. And not saying that many are going to go on to actually do that, because there's a lot of risk and, I mean, a lot of obstacles to get to that point. But that is the aspiration of many students. I think there's the current generation of students, and I think you could ask anybody that runs an organization, they're not, business owners use the word loyal, right? They're not loyal to like their job or anything of that nature. They're happy to switch jobs in a second. And I think some of that just goes to many of them watch parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents or whatever it may be work for the same company for many, many years. And hey, they're still 50, 60 years old, having to put in lots of hours, and their quality of life doesn't seem to have improved that much. So I think that's where some of the drive comes. Hey, I want to do my own thing. So that's one thing I preach about accounting. It's like, this is the degree if you want to do that, because it's going to give you the background to understand, you know, whether, no matter what kind of company you want to run, if you understand the numbers and how to make decisions based on good numbers and how that affects the different financial sales and everything, profit, everything, that's going to make you a successful business owner. So that's definitely a pitch I like to talk about in that early
class. Yeah, I mean, I agree more. I think that was, you know, for me, part of my motivations for sure. And as I started learning about what accounting was, and you know how, you know, the huge impact that it really has in the business world, and you know, obviously I think, you know, one of the famous quotes out there from, you know, none other than Warren Buffett, right? You know, accounting is the language of business. You know, he preaches about, you know, that's in large part how he makes his investment decisions when he's reading through the quarterly reports and the annual reports and everything. And you really have to understand the accounting in order to be able to make really good investment decisions.
I think that's actually probably the coolest thing, is that you can be 23, 24 years old and you're in the room with CFOs and controllers speaking about their financials. Yeah. I mean, there's no other job that gives you that type of access to, one, just get to know these people really and network with them, but then two, to actually dig into, here's what's making this company successful. Here's, you know, oh, wait, they're not having a good year. I'm sitting here looking at the financials. I'm asking questions about why are sales down? Why all of that type of stuff? And so I think that, I mean, that is just incredible experience that you get to get at such a young age, or even if you're older and young time in your career, which is kind of unparalleled to anything else.
Yeah, I can agree more. I mean, it had a huge impact for me. I mean, exactly what you're talking about is, you know, I know my experience early on was I was in, you know, the audit room pretty much every single day of a very large publicly traded company. I'm interacting with the chief accounting officer, CFO, controller, all very high pedigree people, very smart, moving very fast. And, you know, I had that exposure every single day when you're in that environment. It doesn't really matter, you know, let's say what the exact job is that you're doing there, but just being surrounded by it and being in the middle of it has such a huge impact. It's interesting. So, you know, we're talking a lot about the impact that accounting has from an entrepreneurial standpoint and maybe a business owner standpoint and really where you're learning and everything. And so one thing that I want to talk about just in the accounting industry in general, right? Like actually becoming, let's say, an accountant, and that's the job that, let's say, that you're going to go do, right? The AICPA put out, you know, some stats. I think the article that I read was dated maybe 2018, 2019, you know, something like that. And the headline was that 75% of CPAs would be hitting retirement age in 2019 or 2020. And, you know, they forecasted that, you know, about 75% of licensed CPAs would effectively be phasing out of the accounting industry over the course of the next 10 years. And so we're kind of in the middle of that timeline right now. And, you know, now you have the other side of the equation, which is, you know, how are you backfilling that? And really, you know, for us and in our business, we're certainly a beneficiary of that demand right now. As you know, we run, you know, a great accounting practice, and we've got a lot of young folks that are in our business and, you know, more that are wanting to become part, you know, become part of Alpine Mar. And I find it very interesting that, you know, that there's a lot of, I think, feedback that I'm seeing and a lot of negative pushback to getting an accounting degree and becoming an accountant. And I really don't understand a lot of it. And so you've got students and enrollment in CPA, courses and just, you know, people that are sitting for the exam are at all-time lows. I think the most recent stat that I read was there was a 30% drop off between 2016 and 2023 in, you know, people that were sitting to become licensed CPAs. So, I'm curious to hear, you know, what are you seeing from your students, and, you know, do you see any motivations of people that just outside of, let's say, the business ownership and entrepreneurial realm that are looking at this and saying, oh, wow, there's really an opportunity here, even just for kind of being in the accounting industry in general? Almost like if you're not going to go that route, the entrepreneurial route, the business route, you've kind of got a really nice hedge too, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I talk about that some too. And I guess to directly answer your question, I think by and large, what happened is the stagnation of starting salaries really hurt the pipeline of students coming in for 10 to 15 years. At most universities, accounting is one of the tougher degrees in the College of Business, in the School of Business, whatever you want to call it. Not saying it's tougher than, you know, bioengineering or something like that, but in the School of Business, if you look at GPAs and all of that stuff, the accounting degree is typically tougher because most undergraduate programs at least somewhat teaching CPA exam concepts, which is obviously a difficult test. You can look at pass rates of that and all of that. So I think that's what caused this. Number one, there's other issues, work-life balance, that perceptions filter down. But exactly what you said is 100% spot on. It's like, yes, from my perspective as a professor, from your perspective in industry, from firm leaders' perspectives, from society, state societies, it's a huge issue. But my kind of pitch to students is from an individual standpoint, it's incredible. There's never been more demand for you as soon as you graduate, or even, I mean, we have students and principals of accounting getting internship offers at this point. So there's never been a better time to be an individual accounting major, I don't think. Yeah. And it's just, to me, I got asked the other day, you know, what's the most exciting, what are you excited about most in our industry? There's a lot of negative, a lot of that, but to me, that answer is how much opportunity there is for young accountants or people switching to accountant. And I think right now in the first 3 to 5 years of your career, you can accomplish more than at any point in the past. Whether that's starting your own firm, whether that's just running up the promotion ranks, there's just so much opportunity out there because of that lack of supply. And I mean, it sets you up on such an incredible path. And just a touch on what you said, I think that's very important that getting an accounting degree, you always have something to fall back on. Yeah. You could take all kinds of risks. You can start your own company. You can, you know, you can switch jobs to something that, you know, I have a family member who's a CPA and she went and worked for a startup company. You know, it is somewhat risky, but there's a huge reward to it if it all goes well. And if it doesn't, there's plenty of jobs out there that she can fall back on to and have a wonderful career as well. So I think you get a nail on the head with kind of that as well.
It's funny, with as many people that are coming out of the industry and so few that are coming in, it almost makes it seem that, you know, it makes those license holders that much more valuable. And so, you know, what it means to actually hold that license, I think, is a big deal. And, you know, again, it goes back to, you know, I kind of laugh every single time I see, you know, negative commentary around it about, you know, definitely don't study accounting. You shouldn't go into accounting. It's a terrible time to be an accountant. And the conversation always goes to, I think part of it is, you know, maybe some of that pay gap that, you know, you were talking about for, you know, let's say that 10 to 15 year period. The reality is though, I don't think in my view, and at least in my experience, it all, I don't think that necessarily prices in a lot of the experience that you get from for me, it was that experience of, like I said, being around those people at that public company, being in that environment, learning in that environment. There was a lot of, I think, gain that I really got out of that, on a personal level that isn't priced into the equation. Right. And, it came later in my career, a little bit later in my career, still progressed, pretty quick, but it goes back to, there's going to be more and more value for those CPA holders, in my view. And so going back to what the conversation now is generally pushing toward, AI and technology, and oh my gosh, it's going to take out jobs and all this stuff. And so, what's the conversation like about that? And I guess, what's the argument against it?
We're implementing AI into our curriculum. We think it's going to have an effect. It's good that students see it, use it, know how to be efficient with it, things of that nature. And they're doing that on their own. It's not like we have to put it in our curriculum lately. We're smart people. I think, playing around with it some, you figure it out on your own. But I think it is important. Here's how you can use it to answer these accounting questions, or to improve your efficiency. And, I tell students all the time in principles of accounting, because one thing I had when I came out of school was a good amount of imposter syndrome. I passed the CPA exam, I'd done all that, but I still felt like I knew nothing. So a couple of things, I always tell them, here's what you're going to bill out at as soon as you start, if you start with a public accounting firm. So that's what people value you at. But just that in the principles, I always like to tell them, you have the knowledge at this point, you can go start a bookkeeping firm, and with AI, with some efficiencies, with technology, you can make a wonderful, by just the knowledge in principles one and principle. Just, you can, I tell them, here's how you can automate all this stuff and all that type of stuff. So that's, I look at AI as a wonderful opportunity for individuals to be more efficient, to do stuff without having to have the overhead that we've had to have in previous iterations of accounting firms and things of that nature. And I don't think I'm not worried that it's going to come take any accounting jobs. Is it going to take some lower level bookkeeping? Possibly. We've had AI for years. It's nothing new. There's been algorithms in software for years and years and years. So I struggle getting to the point where this is going to be radically different in 6 months and a year. Yeah. Is accounting and how we do our job going to look different in 15 years? Absolutely. It looks completely different than it did 15 years ago. Of course, I don't see the threat of AI to our industry as some.
We're using it as a tool that you leverage, and it creates more efficiencies. And, to me, again, in my view, I think a part of it is, if you look at the conversation that was around the pay gap that people like to point to for that 10 to 15 year period, and then you look at implementing AI and a new tool that you're able to leverage, to me, it really goes into the bottom line. You're able to increase margins. You're able to become more efficient. But more importantly, I even think that in the accounting industry, one of the things that I think people like to focus on is, how are you creating more and more value for your clients? And what are the, what value creation opportunities do you have? And you can bill that time out because it's, higher value work that you're doing for clients. You bill it out at a higher cost, right? And clients love it. The value that they're getting out of what you're able to bring to the table is a huge win for them. It's a huge win. It's a huge win for us. And so I also think it's one of those things that it allows you to free up some of your time to be able to focus on the higher value things that clients need and want.
That is our most valuable skill. In your firm, at a much, obviously, more advanced, more sophisticated level, but at the student level, it's like, you understand all of this now. You can go into any small business in our city, tell them something probably they don't know about their business. Now, you can't tell them, if it's a restaurant, you can't tell them how to make better food. That's their specialty. But you can look at their numbers, and you can probably come up with some good ideas that's going to increase their bottom line. I mean, that's where our value lies in the future more than anything else.
It's funny. I every single time I see some new software that is preaching AI this, AI that, and oh, it can do this, and oh, no more for, you know, you don't need the bookkeeper anymore, and you know, whatever. And I'm like, sweet, let me check this thing out. I want to take this thing for a spin, right? And so it's funny, I've done it now on a few occasions. And some of the products I think very cool. There's a lot of, you know, unique, rich features to them. And so, but my take on all of them is that it hasn't removed the need for even, you know, a just basic bookkeeper, because accounting is about having things in the right place, right? And you need to have context around what's happening in the business, what transactions are taking place in order to be able to account for these things, understanding really, you know, the most common just difference between balance sheet and income statement, right? And so one of the key takeaways that I have is for a CEO or you know, just a C-suite executive or management for a company, maybe even a board of directors, you know, whoever it is, there's a tremendous amount of trust that gets built in with the people that are really speaking to the financials or speaking to the numbers, right? And I think there's probably, maybe we get there one day, but I think there's probably still a long way to go before any human is going to trust, you know, an AI algorithm to be able to give them the feedback that they're looking for. Even if it's right, there is a trust factor there. And absolutely, in some of the softwares that, you know, I've taken for a spin, some of the common things that I've seen, the themes have been, we're giving you new unique reporting that is, you know, a little more, has KPIs that are, you know, more beneficial to, you know, startups, these, you know, new KPIs that, you know, don't come out of the box, let's say in Intuit or something, or in QuickBooks, right? And at the end of the day, you still need to understand how those KPIs are being generated. How's that math actually, what math is the software and the algorithm actually doing? What accounts from your chart of accounts is it pulling? What numbers? Is it missing anything? Like, there's still that completeness and accuracy check that still needs to happen. And therefore is where that trust factor comes in from anybody that has an accounting degree, right? And they're able to kind of...
Yeah, if you don't understand it, how are you going to change it? Or how are you going to improve your KPIs, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, building that trust, building that context and that confidence, I mean, I think is one of those things that, you know, even still, we got a long way to go, and something that I'd be, you know, that I preach. All right. So students' perspective on the accounting industry. I think, like you touch on, and I know when I was in school, it was the same way. Accounting in the business school was, I think, by and large, you know, kind of the hardest degree to get. It was kind of looked at, it was looked at that way, I think, in the business schools. It was one of the reasons why I wanted to pursue it, just because I have this little bit of competitive nature. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do really good at that because it's really hard, right? What's the perspective that you're seeing from students now? How receptive are they to, you know, some of these conversations and some of the things that, you know, kind of we're talking about the benefits of, now's like the best time to become an accountant?
Yeah, I think to kind of address your comment about being the hardest too, I think a lot of that, one, the material is tough. There's no way about it. Two, there's many professors, luckily none at Troy, but from my experience in academia, there's a lot of professors who are used to the age where accounting majors were plentiful. Like it was a degree everybody wanted to get if they could pass the classes. And that led to a sort of, we need these weed out classes, which I don't think is anywhere near the way we should. I heard somebody, I think Janine Birmingham, who is our CEO of a state society, is like, you know, instead of calling it a weed out class, let's try to pull these students through. And that's our job. That's your job as a professor, is to make a material, not hard. It's to take hard material and make it easy. So I think that's one thing that we have to focus on in universities. But for students, it's like we've been talking about. They do, I hope this isn't misconstrued, there's a lot of negatives about our industry. There's a lot of things that we do need to work on, we do need to fix. But the opportunities for, there's not many degrees you can come to a state school, start at a community college, finish up at a state school if you want to, keep your costs in check, get a degree and be making $250,000 10 years into your career without doing anything incredibly special.
Yeah.
And not saying you're not doing great work, all of that stuff, but I'm just saying following the path of the person before you. And that's with no connections coming into college. That's with no networks. That's with no family that knows people that can get you a job. And that, to me, that's the story of accounting. It's like you can be a first-generation college student, just have an incredible career, and the path has been laid for you. Here's what you got to do to reach that. And you can, you know, you can go off that path and do things different, take a lot of risk if you want even higher rewards possibly. But there's a safe way to, hey, look, you can become a millionaire with no previous, like I said, family networks, things of that nature. And to me, that's at least where I'm at. We do have a lot of first-generation students. We have a lot of students that come from extremely hardworking families and we're not, it's like, hey, you got to work, you know, 55 hours a week. And that doesn't scare a lot of our students. I understand that. And I do think a lot of them do want to have family time. All of that, of course, that's number one to me all day long. Number one, it should be to most people, I think. But at the same time, I don't think our students are afraid that, hey, I might have to work a couple, you know, I'm going to have to put in some work to get this reward. That's how they were raised. That's what they're used to. So I think just pitching accounting as that degree, as that program that can get you to these places that you want to be one day, it's just, to me, it's very exciting. And I do hate that it gets flooded with the negative sometimes.
Yep. That's so good. Yeah, it's so true, especially when, you know, there's a pretty high focus on cost of education and everything, that it is spot on. You can just do what whoever has, you know, taken this path right before you, right? No special network, no special connection. You do not need, you know, the big Ivy League diploma or anything like that. And you can do exceptionally well for yourself financially. And that's, yeah, that is so spot on. Such a good takeaway.
And I think that's something that we should celebrate more. You know, I tell, if you go into any other, you know, we have these like meetings where CPAs or accountants will come in and speak to our students, and every other degree has the same type of things, right? One thing I have noticed is they are, and it probably goes to somewhat of our nature, our perception of our nature, at least. We are very conservative when we talk about what you can accomplish. You know, if you go into another degree and they're like, hey, you can make $80,000 first year out of college. That's like one person who made that because they went to New York City. Mm-hmm. And in accounting, it's like, well, how much can you make if I stay with a firm for 10 years? And they're like, well, it all depends. And, you know, we don't want to really get into that. And said, like, man, you could make this. You could, like, yeah. Here's the best case scenario, which is students' eyes would light up. So I think we should celebrate our success a little bit more than we do sometimes.
Yeah, that it's true. And one of the other things, too, I mean, like you said, doing very well financially just for yourself in the role that you're playing as, let's say, an accountant, if you take that path, you stick with a firm, or you go into industry, whatever it is, become controller, a CFO, a director of some sort, that's not even taking into account the perspective that an accounting degree comes with. You develop this perspective that is going to help you, you know, in your personal financial life, you know, whether you decide that you want to take some risk or not. I mean, the way there's a way in which you're able to look at things that I think gives you a leg up on, you know, a lot of others. That's something that, again, you know, I think for me, I was fortunate enough, some of my mentors and things that I realized, you know, pretty early on, it's had a tremendous impact on me.
Absolutely. Just like things like interest and things. And we're in a rural part of the state, and we're in a rural state in general. So that's something I always like. I'm like, you know, you're not lucky to be here because you've earned it and you've done the things to be in the seat you are now. But you're one of, when you walk down the street, you're one of 10, 15 people that have a business education, you know, just like you're saying, budgeting, interest, the kind of things we sometimes, at least me, it's like, oh, everybody knows that. And it's like, no, you're like, that's knowledge in itself, but is very valuable that you can share with family, friends, yep, and really improve people's lives that way as well.
Let's talk about the other, I think, big kind of thing that impacts the accounting industry and people that are going into studying accounting, which is the 150 credit hour rule. There's so much debate around this. I'd love to get your take and your opinion on the 150 credit hour rule. I know it varies, you know, state to state, but, you know, what's your take on this?
I think I've settled on hopefully a pretty simple take. And I I've kind of struggled to condense it, but I think my take is that the 150-hour rule as currently written in many states does not make a lot of sense because it's a random 30 hours. And I agree with people that say that does not make sense. However, from talking with hundreds and hundreds of students, that's not the reason they're not majoring in accounting. So I just like to separate those two things because the only reason the whole 150-hour discussion has come up in a way it's always framed, it's going to help our pipeline problem. It's going to help bring more people into accounting. And I think that is not, I don't think that's true. I talk more to students probably that don't go into accounting than that do go into accounting. Because if somebody makes an A in my principal's class, I'm pulling them in and we're having a talk. Because I'm like, you're doing awesome. Not many people make, you know, a 98 in here. Have you thought about accounting? And not once has the 150-hour rule ever come up. Typically, it's always accounting is boring. I think that's our biggest thing we fight is that I don't want to sit behind the computer all day and look at a screen. And because typically these people are very outgoing and it's like, hey, I want to go into a degree that's going to have me out there in front of people. And of course, my response is, what if you know all this accounting stuff, you have a technical knowledge and you also have this? And I'm like, but yeah, but accountants are known to not, you know, be outgoing, not to be people, person people, however you say it. And I'm like, yeah, but what if you do? That makes you an absolute superstar in our industry if you can combine those two things. So that's kind of my pitch back to them. But yeah, maybe got it. Yeah, I know that was very long. That wasn't concise at all.
I think you're spot on. I mean, I think you're right. I think that, you know, the 150 credit hour rule certainly isn't what is keeping people from studying accounting. It's not right. The reason for the pipeline issues that we're having. And so I think, you know, yeah, there could be debate around it and kind of what's the best approach. How do you, improve maybe, you know, saying, yeah, you still need the 30 credit hours, but they need to be focused on, you know, X, Y, and Z for a particular reason that is going to, you know, make you better at what, you know, whatever it is that you're going to get into. Right. And so I think that actually leads into another kind of good point in, which is the different paths you can go in accounting. And so this is something else that I don't think it's really talked about too much. I mean, obviously you have tax twit, you know, is a popular one. Right. You got a lot of folks on the tax side. I did not go the tax route, although, you know, I developed a fairly strong tax background. I definitely wouldn't put myself up there as like, you know, a really, really great tax practitioner, but I like to say dangerous enough. And I promise you don't want dangerous on your tax return is kind of what one of my partners likes to say. So, but you've got, you know, the bookkeeping, you've got accounting, you've got tax, you've got audit, you've got, you know, the accounting industry is, there's a lot of different paths you can take. Okay. And I think that's something too, that should be talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't mind, could I touch on the 150 one other thing real quick?
Yeah, of course.
And I'll answer that as well. But one thing that concerns me about going, if we got rid of a 150 rule, is that means everybody that takes the CPA exam is pretty much going to be working full time. And so my concern is for the individual, for students. I think a lot of people talking about getting rid of it are speaking from a firm perspective or in terms of labor or speaking from an entire industry at, hey, we need more CPAs. And this is one way we think, you know, I disagree, that we would get more CPAs. I'm from an individual perspective. I'm trying to defend the students. Okay, now you're going to ask the student who needs a job because, you know, they come from, you know, a family that, hey, you got to go, you need to get a job as soon as you get done with college because that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And they need the money. So you're going to get offered a job, but you're going to go full time with a company. And now somehow have to still pass the CPA exam, which already has low pass rates.
Right.
So I have that concern with the getting rid of the 152, that they're going to be for their labor a couple years. And then, oh, well, you didn't pass the CPA exam. We're sorry, we don't really need you anymore.
That's such a good point. So yeah, obviously you have the, you know, if they stay, let's say in a grad program or whatever, they take that time to be able to pass the exam, right? It gives them some breathing room. But I think even take a step further, it's funny, me and some of my partners at our firm, we talk about this quite a bit, which is we don't want to see the profession get watered down. You know, like I think it does set a tone and it sets a higher bar. And, you know, for anyone that's not in the accounting industry that, you know, maybe does have some, you know, negative comments, you know, to, you know, becoming an accountant or the accounting industry in general, and why, you know, it might not be a good thing, which again, I kind of, you know, laugh at sometimes. I'll listen, but I just, you know, I always sitting there going, okay, well, I don't have the same perspective. And for me, I mean, I think that we want to make sure that we keep those standards high. And, you know, in practice, right, the number of times that, you know, we get a new client that comes on board, or for example, you know, we work on quite a few, you know, M&A deals, right? And so we may have our transaction advisory practice working on, you know, QV, data book, you know, whatever. And then we have, you know, a tax partner that, you know, working on the tax side, and there's issues from like really bad, glaring, you know, things that have come up as a result of, you know, prior tax return preparers that, you know, maybe weren't qualified, and, you know, they probably, you know, they missed a few things. They didn't do the research, you know, whatever it might be. And we always sit there and go to, well, and wait a second, we're making this argument that we want to even water down the profession when we're sitting here looking at this. And so I think there's something to be said for that too, which is, you know, for anybody that's in the industry or anybody that's going into accounting, keep that bar high. You know, I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. And just to kind of add on, almost every industry has had labor issues the past 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right. Nurses have had a huge shortage. Teachers, I mean, you can go across the board. There's not many of them running to their governments and saying, hey, you know, we're having labor issues. We need you to change your requirements to, you know, make it easier for people to yeah. become. So it's like, maybe just deal with it internally. What do we need to change within our own industry, yeah. hiring practices, salaries, whatever, to make it more attractive? And to kind of circle back to your previous questions about all the different paths, I mean, that's another huge selling point. Absolutely. And not even all the paths, but you can change it at any point, yeah. it seems like. Yeah. You can. It's so flexible. And one of the things I always ask, like one of the first classes and principals, I'm always like, hey, how many people in here wanted to be an accountant when they were a kid? And of course, zero hands go up, right? but then, you know, I asked, you know, how many of you wanted to be an economist or whatever other kind of majors there are in accounting, and really no hands up. Everybody had, I want to be a professional athlete. I want to be an actor, actress, something really glamorous almost. Yep. And then it's like, well, the cool thing about accounting is you can get into any of those industries.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about sports, guess who's making the decisions up at the, you know, the GM level, the president level? It's people that understand the numbers behind the business. So whatever you're passionate about, get this solid base in accounting and then go after that. You know, if it's outdoors, I'm a big outdoors person. There's plenty of companies that need people that understand the financials about their operations. And if you can do that, and you have a passion for that industry, it just sets you on a very quick path to some of that C-level, those C-level type positions, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Any of those C-suite levels, I mean, and I'll share with you too, just anecdotally too, is the number of times that you're at a table with a C-suite executive, and, you know, I would say earlier in my career when it started to kind of hit me and I realized it, and it made me feel the value that I think I had. And I was like, oh, wow. Very, you know, senior level executives, that there were things that they did not understand about the financials, and they asked the questions, right? They were there and they were in the positions they were because they were asking the right questions, but they needed time with it. They needed to understand it. They needed somebody to walk them through some of the mechanics of some of these things. And, oh, how does this impact my business? What does this actually mean? You know, and early on, I think it hit me as like, oh my gosh, wow. I was like, that's kind of crazy. Like, wait, why is he asking that question? Okay. How does he not know that? Right. And wait a second, I know that. And it, you know, it took time, and obviously with experience and, you know, different things that you find yourself in the middle of, you start to, you know, realize these things, and it really brings you around to realize, hey, I have a tremendous amount of value that I'm holding here because I decided to go down this path. And it's funny, you know, when you see these things and you sit there and you go, wow, I can't believe this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably why, I don't know, I like to look at some companies in other industries, and a lot of times the presidents, CEOs, CFOs, COOs, a lot of times they have an accounting background, even though it has, the industry might technically have nothing to do with accounting. So I always find that very interesting. It seems like, I mean, you just get to see the whole picture. You understand the whole picture. You understand where all the numbers are coming from. And that is just, to me, it's like you mentioned, that's our value. You know, we understand what's going on underneath the company and how it's actually operating from all different perspectives. So,
yeah. So real quick, I want to, wrap up a little bit on this. So more on you. You took a very, I would say, probably untraditional path, right? Like when you go into the accounting industry, I mean, I know looking back at, you know, the folks that were in my master's program that I stayed connected with and everything, there weren't, any, doctorate degrees in accounting, and they didn't go the professor route and everything. So what made you want to, I guess, pursue this route? And how have you liked it so far? And maybe give us some of the highlights around this, and maybe some of the impact that you're feeling that you're having too.
Yeah, I guess the pitch is the flexibility for family life and things of that nature. And that always appealed to me. I remember somebody when I was interviewing for my first accounting job, they were like, well, what's your goals? And it's like, I really make enough money to support my family and still be able to spend time with them. I think that's one reason we don't see a lot of go this route is because long term you're giving up something financially, mm-hmm. most likely. You can do some stuff on the side to make it up, but I'm never gonna. College is never gonna pay me $500,000 a year to teach accounting. So I think that's one reason. But for me, it was like, man, I got to teach some classes as a GA, and it was just an incredible feeling to come out of the classroom with more energy than you walked into it. Seeing students kind of get excited about what you're saying and maybe excited. It just, when that light bulb goes off and really just helping people. A lot of people like myself come to college and it's like, well, what do you want to do? And it's like, I have no clue. And it's like, well, here, you're doing really well in accounting. You seem to understand it. All you got to do at this point is if you want to go this path, we got it set for you. We'll do the work getting everybody in here to recruit you. All you got to do is be active and, make good grades or do your best in the class. Just seeing what you can do for their careers. And just not saying, I'm not creating anybody's careers or anything like that, but I'm helping them get that first step. And then being able to watch where they go after that first step is just it's a very rewarding part of the job and something that kind of hooked me. I'll say my mentor, who I worked for as a GA, always in a good mood, always had a good day, always enjoyed being at work. And so I was like, man, that's something that, he had a large family, coached all his kids in every sport. And I was like, that's exactly kind of the life I want to have one day. So that's why I decided to pursue this path.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I know something that I've seen you post before, talking about, being on college campus in the South in the fall when you got, or really any season too, especially when you got a lot of the sports going on and stuff. It's a pretty hard place to beat with the kind of energy you get around there.
Yeah, to be honest, I was working in public accounting, and March, April came around, and I was right. And I'm like, oh, summer break, right? We get 2 months, right? And they're like, no, that's not how it works. And what do you mean? So I was like, I got to figure some way to get my spring break back.
That's so good. Well, Josh, I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with me.
It was fun.
This is awesome. I am a big fan of what you're obviously doing and sharing too on Twitter. I know that's kind of how we got connected. Nice to see another voice on there and everything too, championing the accounting industry. So again, thanks for sharing some time with us. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. And I'm a huge fan of what y'all are doing as well. I'm very excited about the current crop of new firms that are starting and what they're doing for the industry. And I just would encourage anybody that, like yourself and others who are forging their own path and doing things in a better way, to get involved with students. I know it's tough. You don't have the resources that some of the bigger organizations have to get on campus and do all of that. But just popping into a class and speaking with students for 30 minutes can really make a huge difference in a student's life. So if anybody's ever interested, please reach out to me, and I'd love to get you in front of some students and start building some of those relationships. And I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, anytime, honestly, anytime we're there, we're looking to be, you know, obviously I think, you know, a champion in this space too. So yeah, so we'll look forward to getting absolutely. On campus.
Me too.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Roads and Riches podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please consider liking, subscribing, commenting. Let us know how we're doing. And if you're an individual or a business that's in need of accounting services, maybe you're in the market for a new CPA, whether it be tax, accounting, fractional CFO services for your business, or transaction advisory services if you're contemplating a transaction, you should consider using Alpine Mar, the CPA firm that's redefining the accounting industry. You can head on over to alpinemar.com or roadsandriches.com to learn more about us and find a contact form to get in touch. Find out if we can be a good fit for you. We'll see you next time on the Roads and Riches pod.